Hey you, stop for a minute and think about all the things that you do day to day for everyday life. I mean, we wake up, we get ourselves ready for whatever we're going to do that day. That means we have to get up, get dressed, brush our teeth, comb our hair, put our makeup on, go do our job or whatever it is that we do daily, exercise, clean, make food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Hang out with our friends, hang out with our family, clean, I think I've said that one all over again. And there's so many things that we do on a day-to-day basis that help our lives function well, right? So I want you to carry that over to business. And so when you think about a business that is marketing for their company, their brand, there are things, activities that they do every single day that help to move the business forward, to get the message out about the business, to help the business be profitable. So we're going to be talking about marketing functions. And those are, let's break it down. Marketing is all the things that you need to do to move your product or service from the producer to the consumer. And so it's all the activities. And if we think about those activities, those are the things that keep the wheels spinning on the company. So we're going to be talking about those activities. Those activities are called functions. So in today's show, we'll cover those functions. All right, get your pen and paper ready. Let's go. You're listening to Marketing Adventure, the hub for business, fashion, marketing, and other CTE educators who integrate marketing into the learning experience. I'm your host, Jackie Walker. Each week, I'll cover marketing education concepts, strategies, tips, trends, frameworks, and other information to equip you to connect your classroom to digital natives while cultivating an engaged learning environment. So come on into the room where your favorite beverage, snacks, and even your cell phone are all welcome. I'm going to be going over 7 functions of marketing. These are called marketing functions. And they're going to be the activities, the basic activities that a company does in their marketing strategy to keep the word out about their product or service, to introduce their product or service, to continually keep their product or service top of mind for their market, and to continually grow their product service offerings to make a profit. So those 7 functions are distributing, financing, marketing information management, pricing, product and service management, selling, and promoting. The first function is distributing. Distributing, we talked about this a bit when we talked about the marketing mix in episode 33. I'm going to just go over it a bit and expand a little bit more about distributing. So when we talk about distributing, we are looking at how the product gets from one place to another. It's all the channels of movement that the product makes to get to, from the producer to the wholesaler, to the retailer, to the consumer, all of those various channels. When we're looking at those distribution channels, they could be as simple as from, you know, getting something online and accessing it through a website. But we also have to look at, once you do make that purchase, if you're getting it online, what channels is it going to come through? Does that product have to come from overseas? And if it does, how is it going to travel? Is it going to travel by plane? Is it going to travel by boat? And then once it does get here to your country or wherever you are, then how is it going to travel from one place to another? Most likely by a truck, 18-wheelers that we see on the road every day carrying products. Additionally, once it gets to a distribution center, then it has to be warehoused and sent out to various locations. If it's going to a retail store, it may get there through one of the carriers like UPS or FedEx or DHL. And then it has to get to the consumer. So there's various channels and ways in which the product moves for it to get from the producer to the ultimate consumer. And that's just one of the ways to think about that as far as distribution is concerned. Companies have to every single day think about how they're going to move their products, how they're going to get their service to their customers. So that is distributing. They're constantly thinking of distributing. As I said before, it is number one, the movement, physical movement, how it's going to get from one place to another. Then it's those are the distribution channels. Then it's the placement in the stores so that the customer and consumer can actually see the product to gain access to it, whether that's through visual merchandising techniques or different things of that nature, or company pays for space on the shelf so that the product can be at eye level and seen before the customer sees any other product within that category. So those are the things that we're talking about when we're talking about distributing. And also a part of distributing that I mentioned was warehousing. So that's storage, because when products move from one place to another, it has to have a point of being stored while it waits to be moved to the next location. So storage is a key component of distributing as well. And then another component that you may not think about when you're talking about distributing is advertising. This means that you want to be advertising with the correct media, because if you're not advertising with the correct media, you're not reaching your market. So you got to make sure that you're distributing the message in the right context, at the right place, for the right market. So you don't want to have an ad going on, let's say, ESPN commercials for a baby product, okay? Because they're not likely to see, the people who are watching ESPN are not likely looking for baby products. So within the ESPN channel, you want to have things that are catered towards that market. I see a lot of men's clothing, men's products, different things like that when I'm watching ESPN, because that message is being delivered to the market of people that they have deemed as their target market. Okay, so that's distributing. The second function is financing. Financing deals with the way that you gain money to keep your business going. So your business has different things that money is needed for, mainly for the operations and for purchasing product or creating product for sale. So you need money to do all of those things for your business. So you're constantly looking at ways that you can raise funds, gain funds in order to keep your business afloat. So there are different ways that people may go about financing their business. One of the main ways that a lot of people do is they bootstrap and raise the money or save up the money themselves in order to start their business. That is one of the main ways that small businesses look at as far as financing their business. Other ways is that they may look for someone to invest in their business. It could be that they get family and friends to invest in their business, to give them money for their business. And it could be that they're giving them money without expecting a return, or they could be loaning the money to the business and then expecting to be paid back with or without interest, just based on the agreement that they make. All right, so that's a couple of ways that you can get money, and the way that a lot of people in small businesses tend to start out. Next, you can go to the bank and look for the banks to loan you money. Or you could apply for grants. There are so many grants out there for small businesses. But, you know, of course, that takes work, a lot of legwork, writing and all those things like that. You may have to get a grant writer. But there are various things and there are stipulations that come along with grants in order for you to be able to receive the money from the grant. But there's like things such as crowdfunding, venture capitalists that are going on out there. There are people finance their businesses with credit cards. Have you ever heard about that? Yes, people fund their businesses with credit cards. They're also angel investors. You may find someone who's out there, maybe a person that has a lot of money, and they actually put the money into your business. There are different types of angel investments, different stipulations based on that particular person or organization that is providing the funding. But as you can see, there's just a lot of different ways in which you can gain money for your business. And as a business, you're constantly looking at ways to finance. And one of the biggest parts of your budget, outside of the creation of the products and the operations of the business day to day, is advertising. Because you're constantly having to put the word out about your business, there's a lot of money poured into advertising from various mediums in which you're going to send your message out. When you look at a corporation, you will see that they put a lot of money into advertising because you have to constantly keep your brand and your company top of mind for your market in order to have a customer or a consumer who's going to actually pay money for your product or your service. So financing is a continual will that keeps going for a business because you have to keep the money flow to the business for the operations to continue to go. The third function is marketing information management. Now, this is one that when I first say the words to my students, they're like, what is marketing information management? Because there's three words there that they have to consider what they each mean. When you break down that word, you have marketing, which we already know is all the activities to get the product from the producer to consumer. Information is anything. It's all the things that you gather about a product or a service or a business or a brand or a consumer or a market. In this case, we're talking about marketing and we're talking about our target market. So it's the information that we're gathering from our consumers in order to make decisions. And then you talk about management. It's gathering that information and looking at it to see how you can best market to your audience. So when we look at market information management as a whole, it's the gathering of all the data that is necessary for the business to make decisions on how to market their product to their consumer and those continual process improvements to make sure that they're understanding their consumer so that they can get their product or their service right and put their product or their service in the right places. So what are some things that a company does as far as market information management? One is take surveys. That's the most simplest thing that they can do is do surveys. A lot of times back in the day, I don't know if they do it that much anymore. I really don't think I haven't seen it here recently, but back in the day, there used to be people with clipboards in the mall that would stop you and say, hey, can I ask you a few questions? And why did they stop you? Well, it's because the company that they're doing the survey for has identified what their target market looks like, who their target market is. So they're only going to stop people who fit those characteristics of the target market. All right. So they will stop you and ask you questions. And I've done a few of those surveys in my time. One, they'll take you back. They'll ask you a few questions to qualify you first. And then if you qualify, they'll take you to a room where they'll either show you a video, they'll do a more in-depth survey, or there's a variety of things that could happen just based upon the business that they were doing the survey for. Now, I have watched a movie, I have tried on jeans, and I've gotten lottery tickets, cash, for doing those things. The most money that I've made, which was trying on the various jeans and then answering the question as to the fit and feel and all that stuff about the jeans, I got $100. So it was worth my time. It only took like 30 minutes of my time. So that is one way, is surveying. I've also participated in focus groups. Focus groups are when the company marketing agency or whoever they hire to do this brings in a group of people who fit certain characteristics. They'll sit you at a table, they'll present a product or whatever it is, or they may show you a movie or whatever it is that they're trying to get information about. And you all sit there and you talk about it. And there's people on the other side of the glass who are looking at you, taking notes, recording, doing all sorts of things to gather information from the people who are part of this focus group, the customer, the potential customer. And so they're gathering all that information because it's primary information that they're gathering because it's coming directly from the source, which is the person who would ultimately be the end user of that product or the person who would be watching that movie or what have you. So there's a variety of things that they would do in these focus groups to start the conversation to, there's like a person who's guiding the conversation at times who are asking questions to get feedback from you, in order to gather information for that, brand or that company. So those are two of the main ways that market information is done. A lot of times when you go to the store and you're making a purchase, and this will mostly be at like specialty type stores. They may ask you what your zip code is. And you may be like, well, why are they asking me what my zip code is? Well, they're gathering that information because it helps them with their marketing. It helps them to know if we have a lot of people from this particular zip code coming into our store, then we need to start sending promotions to that area, whether it be through TV, through radio, through the mail. They will start sending advertisement that way. So that helps them gather information about where their customers are coming from. So there's just a myriad of ways in which a company can gather information. But the whole point of marketing information management is to gather those data points of information so that the company can then go back and properly or better advertise to their particular market. And the things that the company does when they acquire that information to better market to their audience is, again, one is marketing. Another is to improve the product or service. That's product service development, process improvements. Maybe there's something in their way that they go about their marketing message that needs to be improved. It also could help them with determining pricing as well as future planning. Those are just some of the things that the marketing information management could be used for, but those are the five most key things that it would be used for. The fourth function is pricing. And you may be thinking, okay, so pricing, you determine a price, you charge that, and you go about your business. Well, no, pricing is a strategy, because pricing can make or break how successful a product or service is or a company overall. So there are a lot of things that go into determining pricing. This was a very interesting a topic to get the kids to understand when in my entrepreneurship class, because kids in their mind, and especially if they're coming from a economically disadvantaged environment, think that everything has to be dollar priced, right? They have Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Family Dollar, all these discount stores in their neighborhood, and they are thinking about those low price points. And so when they would be creating their products, whether it was a necklace or a hair bow or a scrunchie or whatever it is that they determined they were making for their product, for entrepreneurship, generally they would want to price that product at $5 or $3 or $2. I'm like, you have to think about the labor that goes into the pricing strategy. You yourself saying that you're going to pay yourself $10 an hour, and if it takes you 30 minutes to make that product, that's $5 for labor only. You're not even considering the materials. And so I'm like, you cannot price your product at $5 when it costs you $5 in labor. You have to add the materials, and then you have to add profit on top of that. So pricing is one of those strategies that make it difficult sometimes for kids to understand because they're only thinking about they're in themselves as an end user. So what goes into pricing? as I stated, you have to have your labor costs for as a part of your pricing, the material costs, and then you have to build in your profit. But also, you need to look at some other things when you're thinking about an overall marketing strategy for pricing. Another thing that comes into play is sourcing your goods. So in order for you to have a good low labor, not labor, I'm sorry. In order for you to have a good low materials cost, you really have to do some sourcing to find your materials at the best price. And of course, at the best quality at that price. So sourcing is a part of your marketing strategy. Also, labor, as I mentioned, is a part of your strategy. You have to determine whether you're going to use a lot of United States companies like to use labor from the United States because they're proud to have provided jobs and income for Americans. But the reality is that labor is much cheaper outside of the United States. And so you'll find a lot of companies that will get their products produced in another country so that they can have low labor costs to factor into the pricing of their products. You'll also find, as far as labor, when you're talking about a service, that companies will find economically disadvantaged environments to run their companies in or to hire from, because that would create lower wages to be paid for labor. So there's just a lot of strategies that go into sourcing your labor and your materials. Now, another thing that you would think about as far as pricing strategy is your demographics. Who are you selling to? So your pricing strategy could determine whether you're going to offer a low cost based on offerings to an economically disadvantaged environment, or if you're going to have a higher end cost, because maybe you're not looking so much as quantity selling a lot. Maybe it's the quality of your product and your audience. So you may charge a higher price depending on that labor that you sourced and that material that you sourced to create your product. So ultimately, with your pricing, you're looking at the point of purchase cost to the consumer. And all of those things that I mentioned before are going to play into that final cost to the consumer. So you have to look at pricing from the primary level of the industry. That's when you're buying the raw goods, all the way through the process to the end consumer. But you have to look at all those various iterations that your product is going to go through and how it's going to travel and the cost that's going to be associated with each level that the product goes through. Because if you have the raw goods, you buy them raw goods, the manufacturers and the producers buy the raw goods. So they have to source those and make sure the prices are really low so that when they manufacture and put their labor to it, they can turn around and sell it to the wholesalers who then have to add a profit onto it and turn around and sell it to the retailers who then have to add a profit to it and then turn around and sell it to the consumers. So there's so much that goes into the pricing strategy. If you can get a product from the primary level, not the primary level, but the secondary level and direct to consumer, then the consumer can pay less than they do at retail because there's so many additions of fees and services that are added to that that makes the product more expensive. All right. So that is pricing. It is a strategy. And a company has to think about it at all of those different levels and all of the pricing costs that have to be added to that product before it actually gets to the end consumer. The fifth function is product service management. What is product service management? I'm glad you asked. It is managing the product and service through its life cycle. Every product has a life cycle. The life cycle refers to when the product is first introduced to the market, to when the product phases out and is no longer found useful by the market. For fashion, that product life cycle is called the fashion cycle, and it has five different stages in which the clothing goes through, from introduction to decline. A company has to figure out how to manage their product through that life cycle. There are things that happen, processes that happen, actually before the product reaches the market. So there's ideation, which is coming up with the ideas for the product. And then there's iteration, and that is constantly improving the product based on feedback from the market. So there may be a product that's set out to a focus group so that they can provide feedback, or it could be a product that has a small release to the market just as an introduction, and then they get feedback from the market, and then they may do some improvement on the product so that they can then release the product to the masses. That's iteration. You're also talking about delivery of the product. That goes back to distributing, but you're also thinking about how you can deliver the product to the market. What is the best means? What is the best way to get your product out there? You're thinking about those things when you're talking about product management. Before you start the distributing process, you have to think about how the product will go from production to the market. You're also thinking about looking at industry trends, because industry trends will affect what you decide to do with your product or your service. If you're not looking at industry trends, then you could potentially fall behind and your product could become obsolete if you don't look at industry trends and see what the marketplace is telling you that they want. As a part of product service management, you have to also go back to sourcing. We talked about that previously when we talked about pricing. You have to look at those sources in which you're getting your products from. Because if, let's say, you're getting your product made in a certain country, if that quality of production is not good, then you have to look at other ways and means in which you have to get that product made. You may have to change your manufacturer. You may have to change your products, your materials. There are a lot of different things, because if you recalls, for example, companies do recalls because they've learned that there's some type of breach of quality or potentially harmful things to their product that they have to take out of the market, fix the problem, and then get back out into the market. That's all a part of the product management of a product. You also have to look at regulations, because regulations are going to determine what you can and can't do, what you can offer. If you look at California, for instance, there are a lot of things that can't be sold in California, because they have a lot of regulations around what's good and harmful to individuals. A lot of other countries have regulations that are more harsh than the United States, for that dictate what can and cannot be sold, what ingredients can and cannot be in certain products. So with the fashion industry, a lot of countries or industries won't allow fashion that is produced in a certain way with certain chemicals and things of that nature, because they're harmful. So there are regulations that also are part of your product management that you have to consider. And this is a continuous cycle, if you can imagine, because a company is always ideating. A company is always iterating. A company is always looking at ways of delivery. They're always looking at the trends. They're always looking at regulations. They're always doing quality control. They're always looking for sources, continual sources to add to their production. So all of those things are continual processes that are going on to help a company improve their product, their brand, and that's all a part of the marketing that goes out to the end user. Nowadays, communicating a company's like their processes, what they're doing to provide quality, safety, and various things to the consumer, those things are being communicated as a part of the marketing message so that consumers can feel like the company cares, like they're getting a quality product, like that things are not going to be harmful to them, because the consumer is more educated now than they've ever been. So they're looking at all of those things to determine if they're going to use a particular company or not. So a lot of things play into that product management of the products, because the consumer is smart and they break down how a company operates to make a decision as to whether they're going to purchase from one company or another. So product service management definitely is key to the overall marketing strategy of a company. The sixth function is promoting. And promoting is implementing all of those promotional elements as a part of your strategic marketing campaign. Now, I teach that there are six promotional elements. You can go out there and search on the internet. You'll find that other materials out there say that there's more than six elements, but we're going to talk about six. So we're talking about advertising, visual merchandising, publicity, public relations, sales promotion, and selling. So all of those are the elements of the promotional mix. And your company has to every day think about one of those elements or do one of those elements to keep the message out there about the products and services that they're offering. So how do you bring attention to the product or service is what it's all about when you're talking about promoting. It's those avenues in which you're getting your message out. And that message can be based on seasonal items. It could be to launch a product. It could be to deplete an inventory that you have a warehouse full of things, or it could be because you're trying to compete against another company that offers something similar to what your offering is. Whatever the reason for your promotion, the company is always looking to do any of those elements in order to continuously promote the product or the service and to get the name out. A part of that process, again, is the sales promotion. Sales promotion has to do with when you see 50% off, buy one, get one free, or things of that nature. It has to do with the selling, which is the one-on-one message that you're sending to the consumer directly from a salesperson. Like when they walk into a store, that selling process begins. So they have to be thinking about how they're going to interact with the customer. That's another thing that the company has to think about. Advertising, we all know what advertising is. It's the thing that you see on TV, it's that you hear on the radio, that you see pop up in your sponsored ads on social media. It's all of those things. Publicity. Publicity is what you're doing to get the free message out there, whether you're sending a press release to a station, radio station, or anything like that. It's how you can get that message out there for free. Public relations is how you are putting your image out there to the world. What are you doing to make your company's image and name stand out in the community? It could be volunteering and doing various things. It's that social responsibility that your company is doing in the community. So visual merchandising, that's window displays. That's anything that you're doing to showcase the product or the service to the consumer. So all of these things are continuous things that the company is doing as far as promoting, the promoting function. It's really big. It's where all the money goes, actually, because you're talking about the advertising and all of those things. So that's promoting. The seventh and final function is selling. Now, I know I mentioned selling when I was talking about promoting, but we want to expound upon that because selling is very key because this is how you're engaging with the actual consumer. Selling is the process of how a person within the company is going to engage with the consumer. That's the selling process. I teach the selling process that there are several steps to that process. First, you have your greeting approach, and then you have your engagement techniques, and then you have to overcome the objectives of the consumer, and then providing merchandise knowledge, very key. Industry knowledge, understanding the consumer's needs and wants, and then adhering to the company and the brand promise. So you have to do all of those. And this is a process in which the company can put together when they're, especially when you're talking about retail and engaging with the consumer one-on-one. So this is a part of a company's training process. Generally, they train with them when they're training their sales associate, you have to teach them on how to engage with the customers the way that you want them to. Every company has their own way. I don't know. One of the things that stands out to my mind is when you walk into CC's Pizza, they're like, "Hi, welcome to CC's." Like, you're almost like startled because the way that everyone who's can see a person walk in says that when you walk in the door. And then when you're on your way out, they're like, "Thank you for coming to CC's." I'm like, okay, so that is the way that the company wants to make their customer feel appreciated. And so every company has their way in which they engage with their customer. So they establish that up front. And this is a part of the whole selling function. But within that selling function, they have to definitely go over the engagement techniques. They have to help their personnel understand how to overcome objections, especially when you're in a retail fashion environment, because people have, "Oh, well, I don't, you know, the price of that. Oh, or I don't think that color will look good on me. Oh, well, I don't think it's, you know, gonna fit me right," or whatever. So there's various objections that you have to overcome. So you have to prepare them with those overcoming the objection statements. And then also they need to be educated on the merchandise. You can't have a salesperson on your floor who doesn't know about the merchandise, because someone is going to ask. And even if the person, the consumer walking into the door, doesn't ask about it, they need to be able to spotlight an item, especially if a person is looking at a particular item. They need to be able to tell them some key things about that item, whether it's, "Oh, that's our number one seller," or, "Oh, this is a good project. This is a good product because of the quality. It's made of XYZ, you know, or it has XYZ functions," or, "These are the benefits. These are the features. These are the key selling points that need to be made in order for you to move that person from just looking to a purchase." So selling is key. And again, I'm going to go over all of those techniques within selling. You have your greeting, which is approaching the customer, and there's various greeting approaches that you could use. You have your engagement techniques, overcoming their objections, merchandise knowledge, being knowledgeable about what you're selling. It's very key. Understanding the industry and understanding what the consumer wants and they need. And that comes from you asking questions in order to be able to service that customer. And then adhering to your company's brand promise, because if they're a loyal customer and you don't adhere, you do something that's out of character to that company's brand, then you risk the opportunity of that person not coming back or going to a competitor, making a complaint, or what have you. So those are all the things that are involved in the selling process. And you can understand how selling is key to marketing. It's a key activity that continuously happens every single day for marketing that product or that service. As you can see, just like you do in your everyday life, you have activities that help you function day to day. A business has activities that help them function day to day in their marketing. So those activities, again, are distributing, financing, market information management, pricing, product service management, promoting, and selling. I hope that this has been educational for you and helped you gain some insight on the marketing functions. Next week, I'll start our series on principles and elements of design. I hope that you come back to learn more about the principles and elements of design. I do thank you for joining me at Marketing Adventure with Jackie, and I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Adventure. Remember to subscribe, rate, review, and share this episode with someone you think would benefit from the information shared here today. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, find me on Instagram at Marketing Adventure. All links and resources discussed in this episode can be found in the show notes at marketingadventure.com.